Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He has so many wonderful things to say and share with His people. Yesterday the Lord took me back in time a little bit, so to speak. He reminded me of a revelation that He gave me about sowing and reaping. Now I don't know how the Lord do these things. He speaks to us spirit to spirit, I know that much. But He can cause you to understand volumes of information in a short moment of time. And years ago, He was teaching me about spiritual wealth and spiritual debt. I talk about it from time to time. And this broadcast is going to reflect some of that. He was showing me yesterday how He put it in my heart that competition is suitable in sports, but not among ministers, not in ministry. And when He was teaching me about sowing and reaping and all the rudiments about it, all the laws about it, it's a beautiful teaching. But it shows you the importance of your everyday decisions. And you people don't know it. They're unaware that they are putting things in motion that remain in motion for years and decades and even centuries. Words that are spoken, deeds that are done. Every day, there are people in your life that say things good and bad. There were people that said the right thing at the right moment and it gave you confidence. Just like there are people who said things that you looked up to, respected, or admired. And they may have said something doubtful against you. And it hurt you. And it causes you to see yourself a certain way. And it gave you problems. Or you decided to do something about it. And it propel you forward because you went against the negative grain. All these things have happened to me, and the people meant no harm, whether they said good or bad. And then they probably forgot about it. But nevertheless, I want to change the focus back to competition. When people are anointed and they speak the word of God, the anointing outclasses what mere men can do, what even educated people can do. Even people that have had great measures of success, when they come around, they may have had a great education, they may have a thriving business, they may be the go-to guy in their arena, at work, or social club, or even church. They have the answers. And here comes this kid with the anointing. Let's say a guy about 21 years old. Here he comes, and he speaks words of great gravity because God anointed him. And what happens is, the word was spoken to be a blessing. He's doing his part in the body of Christ. Whatever we do by the anointing, it outclasses the greatest human efforts. That's the point I'm trying to make. But when there's competition, people will focus on how they're going to do something to look better than that. This is why people who get into competition, they fail in so many ways, and I want to explain that. But first of all, when something is spoken by the anointing, God is introducing something that we don't have. He's addressing a need. Before God anoints people, they have earned His trust in an area, and they are anointed to do whatever it is they're doing. But the anointing is ever increasing. It's a portion of God's ability given to mature men and women of God. People that love his people are mature. People that love others, they're the ones he trusts. They follow God. They are the sons of God and daughters of God. Now, when people get into competition, the enemy can use that pride that causes them to be competitive against each other. Whatever happens in the body of Christ, no matter who's speaking or acting in faith or operating in the power gifts, whatever they're doing, it puts something in motion, and it's a healing process that operates for the whole body. Even people that are not born yet, even people that are not born again yet, every act of the anointing is God's gift to the whole body. See, when you don't recognize the body of Christ, people that are included in it is his body. And again, and people get in competition. This is the scenario that happens. The older guy that has a thriving business, a great education, and he's even well versed in the scriptures. Let's put it, you know, he has even a great seminary degree. And then he's the go-to guy. He's the one people are looking to, and he's gotten used to it. And here comes this 21-year-old guy and speaks a word. If he's humble, he'll receive that word and do greater things. But if he's in pride, he's gonna be provoked. And he'll be provoked against that younger man and try to make him look bad. It's kind of like when Saul called David a young man. David provoked him. He killed the giant. He was wise in everything that he did, and Saul feared him. The spirit of Saul was a spirit motivated by pride. That's why he fell. He was always, fear looks to man. When he looked to anointed David, he was afraid. Especially when the damsel sang the song. Saul killed his thousands and David his 10,000. Oh, that just pushed him over the edge. Now, they didn't mean any harm. They recognized David as one of Saul's men. But Saul took it to heart. And he feared David, tried to kill him several times. Now, when the same word that would have brought promotion, when people are in pride, their provocation absorbs the word. It's kind of like when Jesus did that wonderful miracle, fed 5,000 men, or 4,000. And then on the way from that camp meeting, when the winds were raging, they forgot about that. Woke Jesus up. Lord, wake up, lest we perish. And he rebuked them. He said they should have done something about, they had been around him. And they should have spoke to the waves. They should have spoke to the wind, spoke to the storm, and calmed it down like he did. And then he did. But the word pointed out that they forgot about the miracles because their heart was hardened because of the storm. When a person hears the word and it's good, they can judge it quickly. They hear it. But the word got lost in the provocation because of that pride. Over a short moment of time, they will have forgotten what was spoken, and their attention gets on how they're going to look better than this young kid that provoked them. They didn't recognize the body. They didn't look at the fact that this guy passed tests to get that revelation. He went through things. God blessed him. God caused him to utter the things that was necessary. And it made him look brilliant. But you don't need a brilliant mind to be anointed. You need a humble heart. You need a heart full of the love of God. And he did what he was supposed to do. And he spoke that word. And it was good. And everybody knows it. And now, all the proud people are going to be provoked against him. And the devil's going to steal that word from them. Because their heart, anytime your heart is hardened, the enemy is going to steal the word from you. That's the wayside heart. When things were favorable, when they spoke a good word, their heart wasn't hard. So they received it and they did good and they did positive things in their life. But when something spoken by somebody that they felt was beneath them, and they get in pride and they become provoked, now they've changed the dynamics. And the word was lost to them. It was received by the humble people. They'll mix faith with it and go on to serve God. But people are losing out because of competition, which is pride-based competition. The other problem, it didn't stop there. They put a negative riff in the body. Everybody looking up to the older guy, they don't realize he's in competition and pride. They'll do what he did and reject the word. Only those who really love God, who receive the word, will benefit from it. Now, he put a problem. He did something that he should not have done. And it's not going to work to his favor or to the favor of those who rejected the word. Because he caused this rift in the body, the word that was spoken was necessary. And now people are rejecting it because he rejected it. And he tried to belittle the guy who was younger but anointed. Now God can't trust him to go any further, because he'll do damage to the body. His ministry will stay right where it is until he repents. And the people that look to him will stay right where they are until they repent. And the greater works of God will be put on hold. And if it's on hold too long, it'll be redistributed to somebody better than him. Just like Saul's kingdom was given to somebody better than him. When you read the stories of David, David never got into that kind of pride. Never. He did other things, but he didn't do that. And that's why he could bounce back. Proud people don't repent. If you watch their lives, they don't repent. And you can research it. What proud person repented? Nebuchadnezzar did repent. But the Bible teaches that he got in pride in his mind, not his heart. See, when he was on a quest to know the truth, even though he was a mean, wicked king, he really wanted to know the truth. He's the one who took all the stuff out of the temples, out of the tabernacle, the gold and everything. He took people to, he was going to get rid, he, he, he wanted to know the true way, the true path. So he went and took every kingdom. He conquered every kingdom. People calling on whatever god they worship, and it did them no good. Even Jerusalem, because they were backslidden. But Daniel, Meshach, Abednego, Shadrach, when they interpreted the dream, when they told him the dream he had and the interpretation, now he's looking to the Father. He's looking to the real God. After the fiery furnace, he saw the Son of God in the fire with the three Hebrew boys. And he made it a law that you can't speak against the God of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or your house will be made a dunghill. So he's tearing down the idolatry. This man judged idolatry. But when he was given the mind of a beast, the heart of a beast, and he lived out in the wilderness eating grass, he had this problem. He looked at the people. The devil was trying to get people to fear Nebuchadnezzar, and then the devil was also trying to get Nebuchadnezzar to fear the people. So he was going to make his own god, and that was going to be the god of the land, because the enemy was trying to form a one world government. But in his heart, he didn't believe all this. But in his mind was hardened in pride, not his heart. After his 7-year tribulation, so to speak, he came back to his senses, and he honored the God of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Bible never gives a reference of him backsliding from them. Now, when people are proud from the heart, they don't repent. I can't remember anybody that was proud in their heart and repented ever in the Word of God. That's how dangerous pride is. And ministers that act on it, I haven't seen them repent from it. And they may not be aware of it. When there's a problem such as pride, lust, greed, people know it's wrong. All the clues are in the Word that it's wrong. Sometimes people fail and they say, wait a minute, I better not do that again, and they repent. All right? That's good. Now, when things like that happen against me, things that were temptations, and I came close to falling, I said, Lord, I don't want this. This is not what I want. But I feel tempted. I was always honest with God. I said, I feel tempted. I don't like this. I said, how do I overcome it? How do I kill it? I used the word kill it because I did not want that in my life. And I didn't want to go through my life, spend the rest of my days in survival mode. I didn't want to be the kind of Christian that wished Jesus would just come back so I can be all right again. Jesus gave us everything we need. We are complete in Him. So we can be content in Him if we're complete in Him. And I didn't know how to kill these problems. I had to learn. Repentance is also not just turning from sin, but it can also be a learning process, and it should be. You got to learn God's word. If you learn it, you can win. If you don't learn it, you'll lose. So, I decided something. I had to make a decision. I said, nobody was teaching this. I didn't have anybody to tell me how to kill a satanic attack. I wanted it dead. I wanted to be so strong that I could not fall. And you know, the word teaches you exactly how to do that. 2 Peter, 1st chapter. When you read all the way up to verse 10, verse 10 says, he that do these things will never fall. I conquered every temptation that the enemy sinned against me by loving people and speaking the word. I learned how to confess the word through Charles Capps and use my faith from Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, and others, and even local pastors. Elder Lewis taught the word. He was a teaching pastor. All these honorable people helped me learn how to do this. Greg Hosey used to usher us into the presence of God. So now I had an open line of communication with the Lord. I could ask the Lord my questions and get answers. Especially after he told me to study the word often. He changed my, he prescribed 15 chapters a day. I read 5 in the morning and then 10 at night. And I would not go to bed until I read all those scriptures. And that's how these things happened, and I started hearing the voice of the Lord. It's not, the problem is not that God isn't speaking, but if there's no reference, if you don't have a good understanding of the word, if you're not faithful with the word of God, when the Lord speaks, you won't have the faith to hold on and receive what he's saying. You only have faith for the word of God that you receive. Understand that. And if you see, when people get provoked, their attention is spent on trying to outdo somebody else. I know this sounds crazy, but just consider what I'm saying and then watch. Just use what people naturally do. Watch how people respond to younger people or people that they deem less important or inexperienced. See, when you're anointed, you don't need training. The anointing will train you. When you're anointed to do something, the Lord will cause you to do what's necessary. You may not even understand it all. He can have you. You're speaking words way beyond your years. And when the Lord take me aside and teach me and train, I love when he do that. I enjoy it. He's teaching me things and principles that I didn't know. When I need to speak it, he brings it back out of my heart. The word that I put in. Brother Lewis said one time, you got to put something in to get something out. I study the word like Joshua day and night. I listen to the word while I'm working. I minister a lot, so I listen to the word a lot. And sometimes the Lord will teach me things for people. It outclasses secular education. It outclasses the best abilities of men and women. But it's not a competition. Every word spoken under the anointing is designed to begin a healing process in the entire body of Christ. Why? Because it gives you the information you need to build your life. And the people that are speaking, it edifies and builds up their life. And then they'll be able to edify and build up the lives of those in the world that they're in their world, in their circle. And they have children and families. And it goes on and on. And then some people will go in other places. God will divide people and send them where he wants them to be. He says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. And Barnabas was first. He was the leader. He had the point. See, you have to study what God, before people do great works. Saul ended up writing most of the New Testament. But there was a time when Barnabas had point. And Saul learned from Barnabas. Sometimes the people that start out second, third, fourth, or fifth are the ones that God is going to build up to do something. because you're designed for this. And everybody, if you're helping people reach their full potential, that's the goal, that all are one. But when you shun somebody because of competition and pride, God can't trust you anymore till you get rid of that problem. Sometimes you have to learn against. You got to get back in love with God again, because it's going to happen. People are studying the Lord and they're doing it at younger ages. And the people who get in competition are going to miss out on a great blessing. They stop the whole process, not of them, not just of their ministry, but their prosperity as well. Because a portion of your prosperity comes from sowing righteous seed and doing the greater. See, people get amazed at what looks big to man. That's just the first stage sometimes, or the third stage. And now you got 7 to go, or 80 to go. I don't know how many stages a ministry can possibly go through in our short lifetime. But Kenneth Hagin was in it, was an older man when he became well known. A lot of preparation goes forth. The foundational things happen first. And you can only go so far. See, when God can put so much anointing on a person that it can start an old time revival. It can start an Azusa Street revival. But first, you have to master walking in love and not getting in pride. This has plagued the body of Christ from the beginning, and God had to work around it and limit works, because he told me this. When people get in that kind of pride, they can't go any further. And if you open your eyes and look, they don't. Their ministry is in a stalemate. And I know this. And the only reason I'm saying it now is because he's about to return. And the Lord wants people to repent from this from their own heart and just walk it, follow the love of God. And now he released me to share that. I couldn't say. I saw people doing this and couldn't warn them, because I was under instruction. But people who love God, they're the ones he'll pour his anointing on. Many that are first will be last. Many that are last will be first. And the spirit of Saul always puts people last. They should be first. They're in competition. Competition is dangerous. It's dangerous to everything you hold dear. It causes the body of Christ to exist in a reduced state of being. But the love of God, the generous love of God, helps us go forward in him. Competition is good in the sports arena, on the football field, the baseball diamond, the basketball court, the racetrack, the soccer field. That's where you want competition. It's a healthy sport. People are challenging each other for fun, not for meanness, hopefully. Some people get an attitude about it, but it's not for meanness. It's for sport. It's for fun. It's entertaining. But competition is not, my friend, for ministry. It has no place in the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus left saying, he that believe will do greater works than me. If you receive his word, that's where you'll have faith. And there are elements that you need that you really don't have. And the Lord will introduce it. When he tries to introduce it, some of the people are older. Some people are those you'll receive from. And some people are young, much younger. And if you get in pride, you'll be provoked and you'll stop your ministry process. You'll stop the process. It'll go as far as it can go with the knowledge that you've received and the anointing that you've been faithful in. But when you start being unfaithful, you stop the process. The anointing
The foundation for you to operate the anointing is character, the character of God. When you lose that character, when Samson cut his hair, he couldn't fight anymore. His anointing was in a stalemate until he repented and grew it back. He trusted the wrong woman. And when he realized it, he grew his hair back, and he was blind. He got somebody to put him between the pillars that he once saw, and he pushed it down and killed 2,000 Philistines. I believe he killed about 5,000 in his whole life. Or three. He killed 2,000. Well, he killed 1,000 in one sitting. And the word said he killed more than in his death in his life. So that was 3,000. So he had about somewhere around 4,000 to 5,000. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.